Today's share in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Gittin Daf Mem Dalet. We begin on the very top of Mem Dalet Omad Aleph at the two dots on the second line. The Gemara starts off quoting the following brayso: Tana Rabban, Givo Bechovo. We had discussed in the previous shiurim the knas that is instituted against the person who sells his eved to a non-Jewish person. The eved yotzu lecheres, the original master has to go and write a get shichur for that eved, so he'll be able to be totally free. But as a knas that you shouldn't sell to a guy, because the eved will not be able to go and do all the mitzvos that he's mechuyev to do as a eved kenani, and therefore there's a knas that the rabbis instituted if you willfully, intentionally sold your eved to a guy. However, in this brisa, we're talking about that the guy took the eved, givo bechovo. Reuven owes Chris some money, Reuven owes the guy some money, and the guy goes and takes Reuven's eved. Not that Reuven put it as an apotiki, not that Reuven gave it to him, but the guy took Chris and said, "You didn't pay me back, I'm taking your eved." So, givo bechovo, if the guy took with for us. He took, as Rashi says, Shoylo a Yisrael, he had a chov on the Yisrael, v'halo mecharlo, but the Yisrael didn't sell it to him, v'lo lova lov, and didn't go and use the guy as an apotheke to say, go and collect from here if I don't get pay you back the loan. So the guy took this eved, or alternatively, Osha lekocho sik rikun. A sik rikun, Rashi tells us, reminds us that we've had this word before. Bishar shi Yisrael mufkarin lahariga. Nebuch, at times when the Jewish people were being persecuted and our lives were not considered important in the eyes of the goyim, and they were able to just go and kill us if they wished to. The Amar liobiko chavim. And a certain guy was coming to attack him. And he says, listen, here, saw karka, take this karka zoo. Oh, eved zeh. Vanicheni, and leave me alone. So here, I'll bribe you, so to say, not to kill me. Go take my land. Go take my eved. And this is called a sikrikun, this person who is attacking the Jew in this way. So again, while here in this situation, the Jew, Kavayochol, gave over this eved, but it wasn't willingly. It was essentially an onus. And therefore, in both of these situations, where the guy just took the eved, or where the Jew basically was saving his life by saying, here, take my eved, lo yotzil cheres. There is no reason to give a knas in this situation. As Rashi says, the onesu, on the both of these circumstances of givo, osha lekocho sikrikon, so these were both circumstances that the Jew did not willingly give over this eved, but he was forced to give over this eved. He was an ones. And therefore, v'leka lemiknesay, the rabbis didn't institute the knas in this situation of saying that the eved should go free because you didn't let the eved stay as your eved and be able to be doing all the mitzvos ke'isha that an eved cannot be supposed to. Here, you were forced to give him away and therefore was outside your control and no knas was instituted. Now, there's more questions. This is really a b'chov lo. If you had a debt and the guy took it, so you're not held liable. There is no knas. I'll show you. There's another brisa that says that you are. Rimini, it says in the following brisa, Haresha ansu beis hamelech garno. If the king took your crops, he went to your goren, he went to your silo, and he took your crops that you had stored over there. So the brisa tells us, in bechovo, if the king took them because you owed money, You were obligated to give this to the king. These were the tax dollars, and you didn't pay them, so the king took them. So then, chayv liyaser. So then, let's say you gave 100 bushels over here to the king. The king took 100 bushels from you, so you have to go take off chumas and maisos in the 100 bushels, even though you don't have those bushels anymore, but you can't go pay back your debt with chumas and maisos. So that was tevel. So you're essentially paying off your debt. This was a debt that you really owed. You can't pay it off with the trumas and maisos that are inside of it. So the king took the 100 bushels. You have to go take from a separate crop that you have trumas and maisos on those 100 bushels. However, in the anparas, if the king took this, what we call the anparas, Rashi says, as just a hefset, the king just took your crops. You didn't owe that money. He just went in and took your crops. So then, potamilasa, you don't have to go and give trumas and maisos in that situation because, after all, this wasn't an obligation of yours. You're not paying back an obligation. The king took it. So no, he took the trumas of Isis as well as taking your property. But what do you see from here? That in the situation where givo, even though he took it against your will, so you are chayiv to pay in this situation. So the rabbis said that you're mechuyiv to pay in this situation. So why didn't they say, likewise, if the slave was taken, givo bechovo, he was paying back your debt. So he was taking it to pay back the debt that you owed him. So why in that situation do we also not institute in that situation yotzul l'chayrus, that the eved should go free? Seems to be a stira, that by the king taking it, we do say that you're chayev in the trumas and maisos, but when the person takes the eved as part of the chov, we don't say yotzul l'chayrus. So the Gemara says, no, there's a difference between these two cases. Shiny hasam, when the king took your property, so you gained in that situation, the call mishtar shilei. You owe the king 100 bushels, and he took 100 bushels, but included that 100 bushels was trumas of Isis. So really, he was only figure out whatever it is. Let's say 10% of Maiser Rishon, 10% of Maiser Ani. So there was 20% over there plus the truma, so that didn't really belong to you. So you benefited by paying back your debt, by giving the king something that really wasn't yours, and therefore you can't benefit from the Trumas of Isis. As Rashi points out, the Ramasul Kol Mishtar Shilei, Harinanimahem, you benefited from the Trumas of Isis there, Shoporei Yachovo, your debt was paid back with Trumas of Isis. And therefore, Hilkach, in regards to Inyan Isor, so the rabbi said, Chayev B'maisa, you have to go and take off the Trumas of Isis. Why should the Kohanim lose out? Because you paid back your debt, even though he took it, but it was your debt that was being paid back. However, in regards to the Eved, Kinasa, the reason why the rabbis instituted a Kinas was because of Mishum Mechirahi, because you intentionally sold it, and you were mafki the Eved from doing mitzvot, because the guy's not going to let him take off for Shabbos and Yontif, etc. Vizelo Mochar, and this person, he didn't sell this Eved, Lo Mochar Midaito, Elo Shalom Lutzono Givo, this person took this Eved. You're planning to pay back your debt. You didn't gain anything by giving back this Eved. But my Nicholas say, therefore, you should not go and be punished in this situation. You didn't benefit. Okay, this was a chov that was paid back from you, but you didn't do this in any way. You didn't benefit from the fact that the Eved was taken back as opposed to something else being taken back. Whereas here, if the king had taken money from you, so then you would have to give him chulin money. You couldn't give him money that belonged to Hektish. You couldn't give him money that had Trumas of Isis mixed in with it. Okay, that's why shiny chasm. There's a difference between the two cases. More still questions and says as follows: Toshma, Dama Rav. Rav said, Hamocher avdo leparung ove kochavim yotzel cheres. If you sold your eved to a parung ove kochavim, what is a goyish of parung? So this is a meitzik, v'som alilus. This is a person who is falsely accusing you of, let's say, owing you money or doing some terrible thing. And umachlo b'dimei an peruso shehelulo. And you, unfortunately, have to pay him in order to either stop this accusation against you or to quiet this accusation against you. So this pyrog basically is a person who's blackmailing you. He's making up a story. He's making up an alilus, a libel against you. And you gave him this evidence to silence him. So in this situation, Rav says, yotzul cheres. Now, why isn't this a case of ones as well? Why in the case of gevul b'chovo, lo yotzel cheres? But here, because you paid the parung, the ovi kochavim parung, so yotzel cheres. Why is there a difference between the two? Someone says there's a difference. Hasam, in the case of the parung, so havalei l'fayis, lo piyis. There were alternatives that you could have done. You could have silenced them in a different manner. You could have said, listen, I'll do this for you, I'll do that for you. You gave him the evet. So you intentionally gave him the evet. You could have been mafias him in other ways, but you gave him the evet. So therefore, Yotzul Cheres, the rabbis instituted a knas. And now we just rediscuss this again. Gufa. Rav had said, I'm a rab. If you sold it to this farung who's a guy, so Yotzul Cheres. So then the evet goes free. Now, the Gemara asks over here, according to this version, the Gemara asks, my Havalei LeBeved, why? What could the guy have done? Isn't he an onus? Why is it not the same as the Gevul B'chov? If the guy took the money that he was owed forcibly by taking your slave. So Gemara says, no, there's a difference over here. Havalei L'fayis L'opiyas. In this situation with the firing, you could have gone and be Mephias him in some way. You could have gone and give him a different way to silence him, to stop blackmailing you. As opposed to when the guy just took your Evid, he took your Evid, Gevul B'chov. It wasn't that you had a choice to be Mephias him. He took the Evid. And therefore, lo yotz the rabbis didn't give you a knas in that situation. Now we go and ask the following shiloh. Rav Yirmiyah is famous for asking these shilohs throughout Shas. Bar Rav Yirmiyah says, "Mecharu l'shloshim yom mahu." What happens if he sold the eved but for a specified period of time? He sold him for a 30-day period of time. In other words, la'achar shloshim Rashi says, "Yachzer elav," the eved would return to him. So it was only for a temporary period of time that he would not be able to be capable of fulfilling all the mitzvahs kisha, but it wasn't a permanent. So did the rabbis institute a knas in this situation, or did the rabbis not institute a knas in this situation? So after 30 days, is the eved free when he comes back to you, or is the eved not free? That's Rav Yirmiyah's question. Toshma, we answer Rav Yirmiyah's question from what we just brought down from Rav. The Amar Rav, Hamocher Avdo L'Farung, Ovei Kochavim, Yotzel Cheres. Rav said that if you sell him to this farung, that's going to make the eved go free. Now, aren't we assuming over here that this farung is a person who's only a temporary. Rashi says, that this person just took him for a period of time, Adzman Ploni, until, let's say, 30 days, and then he'll return him. So isn't this exactly the question that Rav Yirmi asked? And Rav is telling us that he goes free, even though it's only for 30 days. Shmuel says, no, who says that? Rav is talking about a case where he doesn't come back. So therefore, there is no riot, and you don't have an answer to your question, Rav Yirmi. VMS asking more questions. What happens if Mecharo chutz mimalachto? Mahu. What happens if the Yid sells his Eved to the Goy, but for the expressed purposes of him not doing work? As Rashi says in Dibramas chutz mimalachto, gufo koniloch. Yes, my Eved belongs to you, but not for work. Ubavad shalo tishtabid bo. In other words, he's off from work, so therefore he can do all the mitzvos, he can do everything that he has to do as an Eved. Eved Kenani, whatever mitzvahs he's able to do. All right, why would there be a sale over here? Shalom Mucharo Elo Lahasio Lishivchaso Levodos. That the whole purpose this Eved was sold was to be the father of Vlados, of children that would be born to the slave girl that the guy had. So the guy just is buying the Eved's ability. The Eved Kenani that he's buying is only for the purposes of sleeping with his slave girls, so he'll have more slaves. But in regards to Malacha, the Eved Kenani has absolutely no responsibilities, and therefore can do all the mitzvahs that a Eved Kenani has to do. And therefore, if you're asked in this situation, Malacha chutz mimlachto, it won't impact his being able to do the mitzvahs. Mahu, is that considered a knas in this situation when he comes back, or is not considered a knas? Does he not go l'cheirus? Chutz min ha-mitzvos, mahu. If you may further ask, what happens if he sells him to the guy, but with the understanding that you must let him perform all the mitzvos? If you don't let him perform all the mitzvos, the sale is null and void. Mahu, in that situation, did the rabbis institute a knas or not? The whole purpose of the knas was because he's not going to be able to do the mitzvos. But here, it's built into the deal that he'll be able to do mitzvos. Rabbi asks another question. What happens if he says, chutz min shabbosos yom tov him? He says, listen, you can't work him on Shabbos and Yontif. You can work him on Tuesday, big deal. So he'll be able to do all the mitzvahs anyway. But Shabbos and Yontif, you're not going to give him off. No, it's built into the contract that you have to give him off Shabbos and Yontif so he can observe Shabbos and Yontif. And Eved Kenani is obligated in not working on Shabbos and Yontif. Mahu, Rav Yirmi asks, in that situation, is there a knas or is it not a knas? Furthermore, Rav Yirmi asks, what happens if he sells him Lager Toshav? A Ger Toshav is a person who is keeping all the Zayin Mitzvahs B'nei Noach. And as Rashi points out, he is Sekiba Lo Shalo La'abot Avodas Kochom. He's not going to worship Avodas Zorah, V'ochel Velos, but he's still a guy. He's allowed to do everything, but he keeps his Zayin Mitzvahs B'nei Noach. He's a very nice guy. He's allowed to live in Eretz Yisrael, and you have the obligation to give him a Nevelos and things like that, but he is a guy. So if you sell it to such a person, so does the Knas apply to a Ger Toshav? Is he considered like a guy, or is he considered not like a guy in this situation? No Knas. What happens, Rav Yirmi says, if you sell him to Yisrael Mumer, you're selling him to a Jew, but the Jew is not a believer, and the Jew is off the derech, and the Jew is going to say, hey, I don't believe in this Shabbos and Yom Tov stuff, I don't believe in mitzvahs, and the Stama, the Eved Kenani, will also not be able to do the mitzvahs. Mahu, Rav Yirmi says, in this situation, what's the din? Finally, the last question, he says, Likusi, if you sell them to a Kusi, it's unclear what the status of the Kusim were. We mentioned many times, the Kusim came from a place called Kuta. Sancheir captured their area, and he displaced the people, as was his modus operandi, and he brought them to the Shomron, and they became converts in the Shomron because lions attacked them. So they became Gere Arayos with an olive. And the question is, were they valid Kusim converts, and therefore the Kusim were Jews, and therefore there's no penalty, or do we say no, that they weren't Jews, and therefore there's a penalty? Mahu, that's another question of Yirmiyah. It's a whole series of questions where it says, at least let's try to answer one. We don't know the answer to many of these questions. Pishot miyachod, at least let us answer this one question, the Ger Toshav. Ger Toshav, hareyu kovi kocham, a Ger Toshav is considered a guy, and therefore, if you sell him to a Ger Toshav, so then the Eved would yotze l'cheiris. Okay. Gemara says, what about the Kusi and the Yisrael Mumar? So Gemara says, that's already Machlokis. Amrei lo kevel kechavim, v'amrei lo kiyisrael. Both the Kusi, who are not sure what his status is, he's a Yid or a guy, and Yisrael Mumar, who unfortunately has gone off the derech in such a way that he's a Mumar, so he's certainly not an observant Jew in any way. So what's the status? So some say he has the status of an Ovikel Chavim, and Amrei lo kiyisrael. Others say, no, he's still a Yid, and therefore there is no Knas. Okay, we don't resolve that question. They ask the following shalom Ravami, Eved Shehipil Atzmo Legayosos. What happens if an Eved joined the French Legion? He joined the Foreign Legion. Obviously, the master did not sell him there, but now the Foreign Legion, this troops, are willing to go pay for him. So ein rabbi chol hotzi lo b'dinei Yisrael v'lo b'dinei avlichom. And even though it's your slave, there is no way either through Jewish law or through even the secular courts that you're able to get this eved back. But the foreign legion says, listen, thank you for allowing your eved to be with us. They're not giving him back. They need the troops, so they're not giving him back. But we're willing to pay you. So they want to give him $100 for the eved. Mahu shi'i tol his domo. Is he allowed to go take this money? Again, he did not sell this eved to the foreign legion. He did not in any way encourage this. But now he's faced with a situation where there's no way to get him back in Jewish or secular courts. And the foreign legion is willing to pay him for the eved. Is he allowed to take that money? Is that money considered acceptable? Because you're not allowed to sell your eved to a guy, and therefore, there normally is a knas. But here, you didn't sell him, and there's nothing you could do about it. Can you benefit from the fact that he's now going to serve in the foreign legion? So Amar Rav Yirmi l'Rav Zrika. So Rav Yirmi tells the Rav Zrika, listen, this question was asked to Rav Ami. Go poke, go out. Ayin b'michiltech. Go and look in all your texts. Rashi explains b'michiltech means b'mishnah sedur l'cha. They didn't write down fully everything, but they would write down notes to themselves. Go check out in your notes. Leida manoshev, how we could go and answer this question that was asked to Rav Ami. No, he went out, Norfolk, Dok, he checked it out, he investigated the Ashkach, and he found that there is, in fact, a Brisa. This Brisa says as follows, the Tanya. The Brisa says, Amocher beis ol Ovi Kochavim, if a person sells his house to an Ovi Kochavim in Eretz Yisrael, that's a critical factor, because you'll not sell your house to an Ovi Kochavim outside of Eretz Yisrael, but Rashi points out, this is talking about Eretz Yisrael. The Amar across the Pasuk says, Lo Sechonim, you're not allowed to go give them, Lo Sitem Lehem Chaniya Bekarki, you're not allowed to sell the land in Eretz Yisrael. So therefore, he went and did something that you're not allowed to do. So, domov asurim. In this situation, we cancel him. We say, the money that you got for selling your house, you got $500,000 for selling your house. Guess what? You can't benefit from that money. That money is asur. You're not allowed to get any benefit from it because you're over the issur of los achonim. So the rabbis instituted a knas over here. Domov asurim. However, the ove kochavim sha'onas beis or yisrael. But if the guy came in and took your house, right, the Goyish government came in and takes your house. And you can't get this back, not through the Jewish courts and not even through the Goyish courts. However, the government says, we're willing to pay you for it. We're taking your land. We're appropriating your land, right? The right of eminent domain. They're taking your land. It's a Goyish government or a guy, a strong-armed guy. However, he's willing to pay for it. Mutter litol is domov. Here, the Brisa says that you can take money. That's not considered that you sold the land and the rabbis instituted the knas. No, they took this house from you, and therefore you can take the money. And in fact, the kosev, you're allowed to go and write a shtar, take a shtar over here, umala berkoshlem, and bring it to their secular courts, even though normally we don't allow you to go to secular courts, to get it signed off and sealed, because the guy demands that you do this, so he wants proof that this house is now his, so you're allowed to even go to their secular courts and have this all signed off of, even though you're so seemingly giving chashivas to the secular courts, which is normally an isser, because in this situation, you have no choice, because this is the only way that you can save your money. Listen, it's bad enough to take any house, but you should at least get compensated for it. So the Brisa says you're allowed to go take the money in this situation. In the case where you sold your house to them, so then we can't see you. Now, the Gemara says, we see that you are allowed to go take the money in the case where you were forced to. So that asks and answers the question that they were asking for Rav Ami, that if the Eved threw himself to the foreign legion, the foreign legion is allowed to pay you. You see from this Brisa that just like in the Brisa, you can take the money from the guy that stole your house because you have no way of getting it back. So to over here, there was no way to get the Eved back. And therefore, the question, Ma'av Shi'itil Azdamav, could be answered in the positive. Yes, you can take the money. And in fact, the Gemara questions this and says, Viduma, maybe, Hani Mili Bias, maybe in the case of the house, it's different. Why? The Brisa said in the case of the house, the keep it a little side, they blow bias. Listen, you have no choice. You got to live somewhere. If they stole your house, so then you're going to be out of house. What are you going to do? You can't live. So therefore, you can't live without a house. So therefore, Lo Ose Lezabune. There is no concern over here that if we allow you to take this money, that guess what? Next time a person will say, oh yeah, they forced me to sell them the house. And I only took the money because they had no choice. So it won't lead to the other because people need their houses. It's not like people usually have plenty of extra houses around that they sell. He's talking about here, normally the house that you live in. So therefore, there is no concern. The rabbis didn't institute exera in this situation. However, Abul Avda, the Sogi Label Avda, listen, a person could function fine without an Eved. So therefore, Osi Lezabune, once we allow you to go and take the money, people say, oh yeah, I was forced. And it's not under duress. And therefore, the rabbis instituted exera in that situation. That's the possibility, although, or maybe not. So that would be the question that they would ask on this Brisa, and Finally, when Rav Ami answered the question, he was asked originally the question. Yirmiyah told Rav Zrika to go and find the answer, so he found the spicer. So Rav Ami paskin the fact like this spicer. Shalach lo Rav Ami. Rav Ami answered back to those people, Mini Ami Bar Nosson. It comes from me. This answer, Ami Bar Nosson, that was his name. Torah Yotzel Chol Yisrael. I want this psak to be publicized to go out to all of Klai Yisrael, all the tutors of Klai Yisrael. And in fact, the psak is Eved Shepil Asmol Gayotzos. If the case of the Eved who throws himself to the foreign legion and they can't get the Eved back, and there's no way to get back through either the Jewish courts or even the secular courts, the Gaisha courts. So Mut Litol Estamav, you can take the money from the foreign legion to compensate you for the Eved. The Kosiv Malaber Koshal of the Kochavim, Mimnei Shu Kimatsu Miyodman. You have to go and do whatever they require from you to sign off and get an official certification of the deal, so to say, because otherwise they won't give you the money. And this way you'll at least get the money, and Mimnei Shu Kimatsu Miyodman. It's like you're saving money from them, that's why you're allowed to go and do this, because otherwise you would lose it. So Rav Ami, in fact, Paskin, this Brisa that Rav Yirmiya told Rav Zrika to find, and Rav Zrika found. Mark Katina says, I'm Rishon Levi. Rishon Levi says, I'm Ocher Abdul Yovel Chavim, Konsin, or so I may have done that. We asked the person to sell his Eved Kanani to a guy, so much so that we made a Kanas over here that we require you, let's say, to purchase the Eved back. The guy says, no, I like the Eved. So it's okay, I'll pay a double, I'll pay a triple. Up to Konsin, or so I've may have done 100 times more than the value of the Eved. For example, you sold the Eved for $1,000, and now the guy doesn't want to sell him back for $1,000. You say, okay, $10,000, 10 times as much. No, it's $100,000. You even have to pay $100,000. I may have done of 100 times the amount of the Eved to get it back because you did something wrong. You didn't allow this Eved Kanani to go and fulfill the mitzvah that he's now obligated to do as an Eved Kanani by selling him to the guy. Now, the Gemara questions, Dafka or Lav Dafka? When you said 100 times, was that an exaggeration? It's a guzma, and therefore it just meant you have to pay even more than the value of the Eved, or did it mean literally up to 100 times more, that you have to pay him 100 times more than the Eved? It was not an exaggeration, it was even a specific amount, even 100 times more. So we're going to try to bring a raya from the following statement. Toshma, don't Reish Lakish, Reish Lakish said, Hamocher behema gasali of the kocham. There's an issue to sell large animals to a guy because of the concern that if we allow you to sell them an animal, you may come to rent them or to loan them an animal, and your animal is mechuyev in shvisa Shabbos. So if you sell it to the guy, technically there's no problem, the guy working it. But if you will allow a sale to the guy, we may then also have a problem of renting or lending to the guy, which would be a problem if your animal works for him on Shabbos. So as a gzeira, the rabbi said, don't go and sell a behemah gasal to the Ovi Chavim for this reason. Or alternatively, for Rashi brings down, that you may come to lead the animal on Shabbos. You may come to be mechamer the animal on Shabbos because the animal won't go with the guy. It's already Shabbos. So you have to go and convince the animal. You talk to the animal. You push the animal. And whatever you may do, you may end up being mechamer on Shabbos to lead the animal, which would be an isser as well. So therefore, because of this concern that you may come to do something that you're not allowed to do, so the rabbi said you're not allowed to go sell a behemah gas, a large animal, to an Ovi Kochavim. Fine. Guy did it. So Reish Lakish said, if a guy went over what the rabbi said, don't sell a behemah gas to the Ovi Kochavim, so Konsin or so, we make a knas and force this guy to buy the animal back from the guy, but it says, Adetzorah B'damel, up to 10 times the amount of the animal's worth. Not 100 times. So therefore, Gemara wants to say, you see that this is not a vadai dafka, 100 times you have to pay the slave's value. Mistama, you only have to do it 10 times. So the 100 times was a guzma. So Gemara says, no, lav dafka. Viduma shani ebit. And ebit is different because they call yoma, the yoma, mafka le mi mitzos. Every single day that he's working for the guy, he's not doing mitzos. So therefore, the rabbi said, for the ebit, 100 times the amount isn't too much because every day you forced him not to be able to do mitzos. So therefore, even 100 times the amount. No, for the cow, the rabbi said 10 times the amount. So therefore, you can't bring me a raya here whether this was dafka or lav dafka. Alternatively, Vika Diamre, another way that this discussion ensued, the second version is as follows, that Rabbi Shulman Levi said, I'm Rabbi Shulman Levi, HaMocher Abdul Yovdi Kochavim Kosin Oso Ad Asar B'Domav. According to this version, Rabbi Shulman Levi said that you have to pay for the Eved 10 times his value, not 100 times his value, but 10 times his value. And the Gemara asked the same question, Davko lab davko. Did he mean literally 10 times? It was just an exaggeration. You have to pay more than the Evan's worth, but lab davko 10 times. So that's the question they asked according to this version. It was only 10 times the amount that he said. And the question was, Davko lab davko. And we bring a similar riot from Reish Lakish, Toshma. According to this version, Reish Lakish said as follows, Dom Reish Lakish, Hamocha behemagasi of the Gochavim. The guy sells his behemagasi, his cow, his horse to the Ovikochavim. So, Kohn said, so, Ad mea bidamel. The knas here is 100 times the value. Oh, so you see that it's even 100 times, so therefore the 10 times was lav dafka. Where it says lav dafka over here. That's not the answer. Shiny evid. You know why? You could argue that the evid is different. The low hodulay. Because there's a knas over here that even when you buy back the evid, it yotzel l'chayris. So therefore the rabbis didn't make you pay 100 times as much. Here they limited it to 10 times, and the 10 times was dafka. As opposed to the cow. You're getting the cow back. So therefore the rabbi said even pay 100 times the amount because you're going to get the cow back. Now, there's an obvious question over here, which the Gemara asks. Elo, behema, time am I. What's the reason why the behema we said 100 times? Reish Lakish said even 100 times. Because we shouldn't the hadrele, because we said you're getting the behema back. So guess what? You're getting the behema back. The behema's worth whatever he's worth. So, liknase tvei chat. So, if by a eved, you have to pay 10 times, so by the behema, don't say you have to pay 100 times. Say you have to pay 10 times plus 1, 11 times, because you got back the value, so we make you pay an additional time more. So, why do we say 100 times by the behema? You should have said 11 times by the behema. Say tvechad, one more time, because you got the value back, so pay one time the value more. 11 times. So it says, you're right. Elo eved milsa de lo shricha, or milsa de lo shricha lo gazu be rabbanon. The eved, in fact, is a very, very unusual thing that a person will go sell his eved ketani. And therefore, by a milsa de lo shricha lo gazu be rabbanon, the rabbis did not make such a harsh penalty that you have to pay 100 times back because it's not a normal thing. So they only said 10 times. But by a cow, that was apparently a common problem that they would sell their cows to the goyim and lead to the potential takolos. If you sold them the cow, you may come to rent them or lend them the cow or lead the cow on Shabbos, and that would be a problem if she's a Shabbos. So therefore, the rabbis made a much more severe takana for the animal according to the second version. Okay. Mark continues and says, Boy Mine Rav Yirmiyah Rav Asi. Rav Yirmiyah asked Rav Asi to follow in Shaila. Another question, Mochar Abdo, if Reuven, let's say, sold his Evid to Chris the guy, and then Reuven dies, Umes, Mahu Shiyiknesu has been no Achrab. Do we make the son, Reuven's inheritors, do we make them go and buy back this slave or not? Is it their responsibility to go and make amends for what their father did? Or, hey, they didn't do anything wrong. The whole thing is a knas, and the knas was on the father. Why should we consider the children? They had nothing to do with this sale. That's the question of Yirmiyah Sravasi. So Gemara says, let's explain the question as follows. Im tim se lomar, if you're going to tell me in the case where tsaram ozen bechor, there's an isser in making a blemish, a mum, on a bechor. The bechor has to go unblemished to the Kohen. The Kohen's supposed to bring it as a behema, as a carbon. So you're not allowed to go and make a hole in its ear, which would be a type of blemish that would make the behema not able to be brought as a carbon, and then the Kohen could just go and shech the animal. And in fact, sarem ozen bechor umeis, if a Kohen go made a mum in his bechor, and then the Kohen dies. So do we cancel his children that they can't eat this animal as well? You have to wait till it gets another mum, or not? So by the father, if he was still alive, the Kohen who did this, Tsarim Ozen Bukhar, who made the mum in the Bukhar, so we cancel him that you can't eat from this animal, you can't go shech this animal, you have to let it be like it was a tamim. You can't bring it as a carbon because it has the mum, but we don't let you go and benefit from the fact that you made this mum in the animal, and therefore the animal can't be eaten. So therefore, the Kohen father who did the mum, who made the mum, we cancel him. But now he died. So do we cancel the son or not? So Kansu bino achrav. According to this, we do cancel the son. So let us bring a riot. You see here that we do cancel the son in the case of the Bukhar. But the Gemara says that may be only because Mishum de Isura Doraisi. The only reason why he cancels him there is because it is a deraisa to go make a mum in a bechor. But aval hacha, in the case of the eved, the sale of an eved to a guy is only an issa derabbanan. The rabbis instituted this because you're forcing this eved kenani not to be able to do mitzvah. So the rabbis instituted a din derabbanan, a knas over here that you have to go buy back the eved. But maybe aval hacha isur derabbanan, and therefore the rabbis did not institute a knas to the son. By the case of Tzarim, Ozen, Bechor, they did institute the knas because it's din deraisa. But by the din derabbanan of selling the eved, they didn't institute a knas to the son. And likewise, even if you want to say v'imtim tzilomer, return to memdalud on the base. V'imtim tzilomer, if you want to say that, what about the case of kivein melachto b'moed? You're not allowed to go and save your work to do on chol hamoed. A person is supposed to do all of their work before chol hamoed. For example, we take a haircut before the yontif. We don't let you take a haircut on chol hamoed. You're not allowed to go and leave your field. Oh, I'll leave all my work for chol hamoed because I'm off from work, and I'll do work on chol hamoed that I didn't have time to do before. You're not allowed to do that. So if you were mechaven your melacha, if you intentionally saved work to do on chol hamoed that you couldn't have done beforehand, kivin melachto b'moed, and then this person who was mechaven to do the melacha chol hamoed died, and now the son is stuck. The field needs to be watered, and the father would not have been allowed to water the field on Chol HaMoed, but now the son inherits the field. The father died, so Kivin Malachto, the father, was the one who was Mechavi the Malacha to do it on Chol HaMoed, and then the father died. So here we say, Lo Kansu B'no Achrav. Here we state that we didn't make a knas on the son, and he can go water the field, do whatever needs to be done for the field, because he wasn't the one that was mechavin to go and do the melacha chol hamoed. Oh, so here you see that we don't consider the son. So one says, no, maybe the reason why we don't consider the son over here is mishum delo avad isura, because technically no isur was done yet. He was mechavin to do his melacha chol hamoed, but you know what, Taka, the father didn't do the melacha chol hamoed. Father Nebuch died before chol hamoed. So therefore, no isur was done. Therefore, we don't consider the son. However, hacha, in the case of the father selling the Ovi Kochavim, so he sold the Eved Kanani to the Ovi Kochavim. So here, Hacha, maybe we would say, L'diday Kansu Rabbanon, V'ah Leisei. Do we say that in this situation, we go and Kansa the father, because he was the one that sold the slave, but not the son? V'ah Leisei, since he no longer is there is no Knas. Or do we say, no, Odilma, L'mamone Kansu Rabbanon, V'ah Isei. Do we say, no, this was a Knas that the rabbis instituted on his salary, on his estate, and therefore, even if he's no longer there, so the estate is there, and therefore, the rabbis insisted that the son go and buy back this eved for 10 times the amount, 100 times the amount of the value of the eved. It's a knas on the estate, and not a knas on the person. So that's the question that Rav Yirmiyah asked of Rav Asi. So I'm going to Rav Asi says back to Rav Yirmiyah, Tinisua. We learn this in the following Mishnah. This is a Mishnah from Shvius. And it says over there, Sodeh, if you have a field, Shiniskavtso b'Shvius, you removed all the thorns. Niskavtso, Rashi says, is Nitlu Mimenu Kotsim. You removed the thorns from this field to make it easier to go and plant. However, Rashi says, V'einzu avodas karka minatorah. This is not a Nisa Daraisa from the Torah to go and do this. And therefore, Lo Kansua, the rabbis did not institute a knas in this situation because it was, quote, only an Issur d'Rabbanan. In this situation, they felt it wasn't necessary to make a knas on the person. So if he cleared his field of thorns in the Shemitah year, Tizara Lemotzi Shvius, the rabbis permitted him to go and not wait any period of time that it would have taken him to go clear the field of thorns, Motzi Shvius, he could go plant right away. However, Nitaiva, Rashi explains Nitaiva is Nizdavla, Baholich Lo Zevo Bagolos Umasos. So if he went and actively fertilized the field, or O Nidaira, he put his animals Bedavka in different sections of the field, so the animals would go to the bathroom and fertilize the field, then he'd move to another section, and he would make the Dira over there, he'd make their pasture area over there, he would make corral them in over there. So then the rabbis instituted a knas. The implication for Rashi is that these would be Isurim Doraisa. Tosus doesn't necessarily agree with that. But in any event, the rabbis did institute a knas in this situation of Nitaiva, Oni Daira. So, Lo Tizara L'Motzei Shvius. We don't allow the person to go and plant this field Motzei Shvius. And furthermore, the Amar of Yosef Rebchenina, Nikitinan, we have a Kabbalah, we have a Mesorah. If this person did this, Nitaiva, Oni Daira, he did this hetiva umes, but then that person died. So beno zara, we don't institute the knas on the son. The son is allowed to plant right away. Oh, what do you see? Rav Asi tells Rav Yirmiyah, alma l'didei kansu rabbanon livrei lo kansu rabbanon. Oh, you here clearly see from this case that the rabbis only instituted the knas when they instituted the knas on the father, and they didn't institute the knas on the son. Gemara says, "Omar Bai Bai says we have a similar Kabbalah. Nikitinon, we also have the Mesorah. If a person was Timei Taharos Shol Chavero, Ruvain was Matami the Taharos of Shimon, And then Reuven dies. And he never paid Shimon for making his taharos tomei. He decreased their value. He made them no longer able to be eaten b'tahara. So, lo kanzer abanim b'no achrov. The rabbis instituted a knas on the person who did this. They instituted a knas on Reuven. You have to go and pay. Even though technically min hadin, you don't have to. The rabbis instituted a knas that since, even though this was hezek she'enu nikar, it's not recognizable when you made something tomei. So the rabbis instituted a knas on Reuven himself, who was metame the taharos of Shimon. However, lo kanzer abanim b'no achrov, they didn't go and cancel the estate. So when Reuven dies and his son inherits, they didn't make the son go and pay the difference in the value between Shimon's product being tar and Shimon's product being tameh. Lo kanzer abanim b'no achrov. Now, why time up? Why Abaye did the rabbi say that they didn't institute such a knas here? Because this is hezek she'eino nikar, and as I pointed out, lo shmei hezek. This is an unrecognizable damage. He was taught me, he touched this produce. You can't tell biologically, physically, that there's any difference in this produce. It's now tomei, but you can't tell that. So therefore, it's what's called hezek she'eino nikar, it's not a recognizable nezek, and therefore, it's not halakhically considered nezek min ha-Torah. And therefore, min ha-Torah, you technically don't have any obligation to pay. The rabbi said, me the rabbanu, we want you to pay. Uknas the rabbanu. So the rabbis instituted a class over here. And therefore, lididei kansu rabbanon. However, librei lo ka kansu rabbanon. But to the son, they didn't make a class. The son didn't do anything wrong. So why should they make the class over here? They only made the class on the father. Then we go to Mishnah. It said, O l'chutz l'aretz, if a person sold his Eved Kenani to outside Eretz Yisrael, they lived in Eretz Yisrael, and he was able to do all the mitzvahs that are teluyos ba'aretz, and now he sold him, and he's forcing him to leave Eretz Yisrael, which is in and of itself a problem. So in this situation, the rabbis instituted a knas that you have to go and buy this Eved back, and the Eved goes free, and you have to let him live in Eretz Yisrael. Tanur Rabban, we learn the following brayis, Hamocher Avdo L'chutz La'aretz, if you sell your Eved Kenani to even a Yid, Rashi says, who lives outside of Eretz Yisrael, you live in Eretz Yisrael, and you sell him to somebody living outside Eretz Yisrael, so the Eved goes free, Yotze L'Cheiris, and the Eved is able to return to Eretz Yisrael. V'tzorch get shichur, however, he needs to get shichur, but from who? May Rabbo Sheni, for the person who purchased him. Where later on, or maybe we'll get to it in the day, Shir Mir Tzashem, will explain that why B'davka May Rabbo Sheni, the Rabbo Sheni didn't seem to do anything wrong, so the answer is, yeah, he's the fence. Right? He's the person that purchased something, and the person who purchased something, stolen goods, so to say, so he's really held liable for why the thief stole. If no fences were around, if nobody wanted to buy the stolen property, nobody would steal the property. So therefore, we consider him the problem, and therefore he needs to get shichra mirabu sheni for the guy that purchased him. Now, Roshim Galil Omer, Pam Yotza, Pam Lotz, it depends. Sometimes the Eved does go out, sometimes the Eved doesn't go out. L'cheiris, why? Ketzer, what's the scenario? Omer Ploni Adi Mechartiu Leploni Antuchi. If the person says, the one who owns the Eved says, I'm selling my Eved, this Ploni Abdi, I'm selling him to this Ploni who is an Antuchi, Antuchi is outside of Eretz Yisrael, Antioch, and I'm selling it to this person who lives, even a Jew, who lives in Antuchi, so therefore, Lo Yotza, the Eved doesn't go out in that situation. We'll have to explain why in a moment. But if he says, Li Antuchi, Sheba Antuchia, I'm selling it to this guy who is an Antuchi, who is in Antuchia, so then Yotza. So the simple understanding over here is when he sells him to Ploni, who is an Antuchi, he's not selling him to outside of Eretz Yisrael. I'm selling to this Ploni who comes from Antuchia. That's why he calls him an Antuchi, a person who comes from Antuchia, but I'm selling him to go live in Eretz Yisrael. So therefore, lo yotze l'cheiros, he's allowed to sell his Eved Kenani to another Yid in Eretz Yisrael. However, if he sells him to this Antuchi who lives be Antuchia, so then it's clear he's selling him to outside of Eretz Yisrael, and therefore yotze l'cheiros. More question this, right? This is Rosh Hashanah Gamliel. And where it says, Vatanya, we learn in a Braisa, Michatiu Liantuchi Yotza. Liantuchi Ashari Belud, Lo Yotza. It says, Beferish Ovir, that if you sell him to an Antuchi, then he does go free. It's only if you sell him to an Antuchi who lives in Lud, in Eretz Yisrael, so then, Lo Yotza, then he doesn't go free. So how can you tell me that Antuchi means living in Eretz Yisrael? Here in the Braisa, it seems to say that Antuchi means somebody who lives outside of Eretz Yisrael. So the Gemara says, no, it's not a problem with Shimon Gamliel, even though he's allowed to argue with the Braisa. The Braisa is not a steer to Shimon Gamliel, because lo kasha, ha di islay beisa be'eretz Yisrael. In the case that Rabbi Shimon Gamliel said, that when he sold him to the Antuchi, there is no yotza l'cheiros, in the statement that Rabbi Shimon Gamliel made, pami yotza, pami lo yotza, so when he sold him to the Antuchi, l'ploni Antuchi, that Antuchi had beisa be'eretz Yisrael, and therefore, it's mustama, even though he's from Antuchia that Mistama, he also is living in Eretz Yisrael. He has a house in Eretz Yisrael. But in the Braisa, when he sold him to the Antuchi, Stam, so then we said, Yotzel Chayrus, that's how the Islay Ushbiz of Eretz Yisrael. He only has a hotel room in Eretz Yisrael. He doesn't have property there. So Mistama, he's going back to Antuchia to go and live. And therefore, that's why there's no steer in Rosh Hashanah and the Braisa. They're both saying the same thing. If you're selling him to somebody who lives in Eretz Yisrael, even though he's in Antuchi, so then, lo Yotzel Chayrus. But if you're selling him to somebody who lives in Antochia, so then you're selling him outside there. It's also the Knesset Institute, even though the guy's a Jew. Another shalit that Rav Yirmiya raised. Boy, Rav Yirmiya, a lot of questions for Rav Yirmiya today. Ben Bavel, Shenasa Ish of Eretz Yisrael. You have a person who lives in Bavel, and he marries a woman in Eretz Yisrael. Mazel Tov. Now, she lives in Eretz Yisrael, and she has property, including Avodim. V'chnisa lo, and she brings in as part of the Nichsei Tzom Barzel. She brings in as part of her dowry people that would be eventually returned to her, or at least the value was guaranteed to be returned to her. We'll see this is a kash in a moment. She brings to him avodim knanim, and men and women she brings into the marriage. Now, right now he's in Eretz Yisrael proposing to her and doing the first stage of marriage, and this dowry is being written for her, but eventually they're moving back to Bavel. And these avodim knanim are going to go and move from Eretz Yisrael to Bavel. Mahu. What is the halacha in this situation? Do we consider this that the avodim go free because they're being forced to move from Eretz Yisrael to Chutz La'aretz or not? Do we say that the woman who is a bas Eretz Yisrael, so she still lives in Eretz Yisrael, she still has property in Eretz Yisrael, and therefore eventually will return there if the avodim and shvachos, which are tzom barzel, she's entitled to get them back, so therefore they're still considered living in Eretz Yisrael to a certain extent, and there is no knas, and they don't go free? Or do we say, no, their bottom line is they're going to Bavel, and the husband has the right to the peiros, so therefore the husband in this situation is considered outside of Eretz Yisrael, and the avodim and the shvachos go free. Now, the Gemara says, you can ask this question, Tiboy Laman Diomar Hadin Ima, and Tiboy Laman Diomar Hadin Ima. What is this talking about? So, these are Nichsei Tzom Barzel, and there's a question that's raised in the Nichsei Tzom Barzel. A woman brings in certain types of dowry that she's guaranteed the value. So they estimate they're worth $1,000. So, is she entitled to get back those specific items? Or is she just entitled to get back the $1,000? So let's say it's a car. So she brings into the wedding a car as Nichsei Tzom Barzel. So the car is evaluated as $1,000. So therefore, she's entitled to get the car back, which is worth $1,000. Or she's entitled to the husband say, listen, I like the car. It drives nicely. Here's $1,000 and I'm fulfilling my obligation for the Tzom Barzel if Rachman and Slander get divorced. So that's a machlokus. There is an opinion that says that Hadin Imar, that she's entitled to get back the actual Tzom Barzel itself, if it's still around, not the value of the Tzom Barzel, because this is considered like her family's heirlooms and antiques and estate, and therefore she's entitled to get that item back, so the din is with her. Or do we say, even according to Man Diyama, it says he has to pay back the value, but he's entitled to keep them, he likes them, so he can keep them, he just has to pay back the value. So this Shaila, the Revirmi asks, what is the halachic status of these slaves, goes whether you say the din is with her or the din is with him. Now, the Gemara explains. Tibai, you can ask the question, even Man the Amar Dinima, that she's entitled to get back the property of its extent. She doesn't have to take the value. She can say, I demand to get back that property because it's my father's estate. It's my family's heirlooms, and we want it back. So, Kivan da Dinima, even though the din is with her, do we say, Kidido Domu? Do we say that these Nichsei Tzom Barzel are still considered like living in Eretz Yisrael because she still has, let's say, property in Eretz Yisrael? And if she gets divorced, she's going to go back to Eretz Yisrael with these properties? Or do we say, Odilma? Even the Mishabdi Leila Peira, no, the husband has the right to use these Avodim, the Nisei Tzom Barzel, the husband has the right to go and use them, Kididei Damu, we consider them like his, and therefore the slaves are considered having gone from Eretz Yisrael to Chutz La'aretz, and therefore there would be a Knas on the slaves that Yosel Chayris. Even if you're Paskin Hadin Ima, you can ask the question. And likewise, you can ask the question, even according to Man D'Yomar, it says that the husband has the right to keep the property and just pay the value of the property. Because Kivan Dehadinimo, since the din is with him, he gets to keep the properties, so therefore, Kiddi Deidamu, these Avodim, are considered his, and he lives in Chutz La'aretz, and therefore, he is in fact entitled to go and keep them and just pay her their value, and therefore, they essentially have left Eretz Yisrael to go to Chutz La'aretz, and the knas would be that he has to free them. Or do we say, no, keeping the low koni le legufe, he bottom line doesn't really fully own them. Granted, he has the right to say, I'm going to keep them and pay you back the value, but until he pays back the value for them, they technically belong to her, and therefore, kidi don domu, they still belong to her, and therefore, there is no knas. And that was the question that we were asked, ben, if you're paskin, hadin ima, then whether you pass the din imo, and we don't come to a conclusion, take good. More leaves us as Niboya the Lopshitalay, Tishbi Yatarits Kushos Viabayos. We'll eventually answer this question. Yitzhashem Behar Remainu when Elio comes. Mark continues and says, Omar Rabbi Abahu said, Shonali Rav Yochanan personally taught me, Evet Shiotza Acharabu L'Surya, if an Evet goes with his master to Surya, now Surya is technically considered outside of Eretz Yisrael, however, it was conquered by David HaMelech. So, if the Evet went willingly with the master to Surya, U'mecharu Shom Rabu, and the Rebbe went and sold the Evet Kinani over there, in that situation, still, Yotza L'Cheres, the Evet is considered to go out free. Even though he was in Surya, which is technically outside of Eretz Yisrael, so in this situation, we still say that the Eved didn't willingly go outside of Eretz Yisrael. The master sold him outside of Eretz Yisrael, and therefore he goes free. More questions? He says, wait a second. Botani Ruchia, Ruchia had a brisa that he said, Ibeid es zuchuso, by the Eved going willingly outside of Eretz Yisrael with his master, so then he basically said, I'm willing to live outside Eretz Yisrael, and therefore why are we constituting the Rebbe? So Gemara says, Lokash, there's not a steer over here between the statement that Rabbi Avos, the name of Yochanan, and the Braisa, the Ruchia taught, because Kan Shadaito Rabo Lachzar, in the first situation, the Rebbe was intending to go back. So therefore, when the slave went with him, so it was with the intention to go back. And now the slave is being sold outside of Eretz Yisrael. So therefore, we consider Rebbe and Yotzer L'Cheres. However, in the case of Rabbi Chia, Kan she'ein daita Rabbi Lachzor. The Rebbe wasn't planning on going back. The master wasn't planning on going back, and therefore, as a result, the Eved willingly left Eretz Yisrael. Therefore, we don't consider Rebbe in that situation. He doesn't go to Cheres. And I'll show you Vatanya. Rashi says Benichusa. This is a proof from the following. Vatanya can be sometimes aye. That's not true. Vatanya says elsewhere. And most of the time, that's the way Vatanya is. However, every now and then, it's Benichusa. Rashi usually always points it out as he does over here. So this is now a riot to what we just said, because this brisa states that Yotzei Eved Acharav L'Surya. The Eved must leave Eretz Yisrael to go with his master to Surya. Aye. How are you telling me he has to go? Yotzei Lo Sagi Lo Nafik. What are you telling me that he must go leave Eretz Yisrael? And he has no choice but to leave Eretz Yisrael, but none. But we learned in a Mishnah, the famous Mishnah in Ksubos, where it tells us that, but none, the Ein HaKol Motzin. You can't force an Eved to go leave Eretz Yisrael. You can't force a wife to leave Eretz Yisrael. You can't force the husband to leave Eretz Yisrael. You have to stay in Eretz Yisrael if you're there. You're not forcing somebody to leave Eretz Yisrael. So how can you tell me here that the Eved must leave to go to Surya with his Rebbe? The Surya is outside of Eretz Yisrael. So Gemara says, Ella, how do you have to understand the Braisa? Yotzo Eved Acharabo L'Surya. If the Eved went with his master to Surya, U'milcharo Rabo Shom, and the master sold him over there, so then, if originally Imdas Rabo Lasso, if the intention of the master was to originally come back, so then, he really only went to Surya on a temporary basis. Now he sells him in Surya, so Kofino, so we then forced this Eved to go free, Yotzo L'Cheres. However, but if he originally went to Surya with the intention of staying there and the Eved went willingly, so then ain't covered. So we don't force the person who purchases this Eved to go and free this slave to go back to Eretz Yisrael because he willingly left Eretz Yisrael and therefore there's no knas on him. Furthermore, Amar Rav Anan said, Shamais minei demar Shmuel tarti. I heard the following two memories from Shmuel. Number one, Chodo Hach. One was this exact scenario that we just discussed, that if a slave was sold outside of Eretz Yisrael, he has to be freed. The Idach, the Itmar, and the other statement I heard in the name of Shmuel, Hamocher Sodeu Bishnas HaYovel Atzma, the person sells his ancestral field during the Yovel year. Normally during the Yovel year, it goes back to the original owner, to the person who owns that ancestral field. Even though he sold it, it goes back to him at Yovel. So what happens if you sell it during the Yovel year? If you sold it before the Yovel year, and then the Yovel comes, it comes back. So what happens if you sell it during the Yovel year? So Rav Amar, Mechura, the sale is a valid sale, and therefore anything that is acquired along with this field, a Kinyan Agav, is an actual acquisition, B'yotza. But it immediately goes back then to the owner of the ancestral field. So it's a very, 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 very short-lived sale. Ushmul Amar, no. Eino mechura kol ikar. No, it wasn't considered a sale at all. The nafkamina, as I just pointed out, is whether it be a kinyan agav on that field. According to Rav, there would be a kinyan agav because the field was transferred over, albeit immediately transferred back. According to Shmuel, it never was transferred over. Eino mechura kol ikar. It never was sold, and therefore there would be no kinyan agav. That's a nafkamina over here between Rav and Shmuel. In any event, these are the two statements that Rav Anan heard in the name of Shmuel. He then added, and he said, in one of them, Bechada Hodre Zvini, in one of them he heard that Shmuel said that the person who purchased it, either the Eved case or the case of the field, the purchaser gets his money back. Ubechada, in the other one, lo hajazini, the purchaser doesn't get his money back, but he didn't know which one of the two cases, was it the Eved case or the Field case in the Yovel, but lo yadani, chai minai, he didn't know which one, Shmuel had said that the purchaser gets his money back. So Amar Yosef, Rav Yosef said, let us figure it out ourselves. And say, now let's see ourselves if we can figure it out. Miditani Brisa, since we have a Brisa that says, Hamocher Abdo Lichutz Lo'aretz, Yotzel Cheres, if you sell your Eved to a person outside of Eretz Yisrael, so then, Yotzel Cheres, the Eved goes free. And then we said in the Brisa of Itzarach, get Shechra, you need to get Shechra, Mirabu Sheni, from the person who purchased him. Now, what do you see from here? Shema Mina, that Kanye Rabu Sheni, that the second person did acquire this Eved, albeit he then has to let him go three. And it doesn't mention in the Brisa of Aloha Drizvini, it doesn't say that the person who purchased this Eved, who now has to let the Eved go free, has to let him get Shechra, gets his money back. And therefore, therefore, when Shmuel says in that case of the Yovel that the field is not considered as if it's been sold, in that situation, Umo is chosen. The money has to go back because he never acquired it. As opposed to, in this case of the Eved, he does acquire the Eved and then has to let him go free. So therefore, he doesn't get his money back. So that solves the problem as to which case Hadrizvini and which case Lo Hadrizvini. In the case of the field, the money is returned. In the case of the Eved, the money is not returned. We turn to Memheil Adal, the Rav Anon. Why didn't Rav Anon know the answer to this himself? Because he never heard the Brisa. Not every Amora knew every Brisa. And therefore, as Rashi said, the top Rashi, the Lo Yoda, Baha Manayu, Ama Brisa, the Leil, Lo Havishmile. Because this Brisa didn't know, Liv Shomine, to solve this problem as Rav Yosef solved it. Now, the Gemara says, V'imi di Shmuel, you couldn't learn it out from Shmuel himself, because Mimai de'ein Mechura Umos Chosrin. If he said the sale is not a sale, so therefore, shouldn't the money have returned? No, maybe not, because Dilma ain't a mechura, maybe, in fact, it's not considered a sale. However, Umos Matoninu, since he gave the money, so he intended the money to be a gift. He knew the field would not come to him, and he gave the money as a gift. The guy wouldn't have taken the gift otherwise, so therefore, he did it in this way. Similar to what we had, Midi Dahabi, a Makadisha Sechoso, if a man gives to his sister Kiddushin. Now, obviously, he can't be Makadisha's sister, so why did he give the money? So we said over there, did by Makadisha Sechoso, Ravamar Mos. Rav says it's nothing, null and void, and therefore the money goes back. But it was Shmuel who said, Shmuel Amar Mos Matana. This was the way the brother was giving the sister money as a Matana. And therefore Shmuel Shitaso says, just like there was the Mos were Matana, so to over here, maybe Shmuel would have said that the Mos were Matana, and therefore you can't bring a riot for the fact that we consider the field not to have been sold even for a second. Let's just finish off to the two dots. Amalei Abayla Rav Yosef. My chos is the kansin lokeach, niknasi lemocha. This is what I mentioned earlier in the shir. Why are we kansing over here the purchaser? We should be kansing the one who sold him. We should say that the one who sells him has to go and give the money to the purchaser, and he's the one that has the right to get shechur. So Rav Yosef says the famous answer that I mentioned before, Amalei, lav achbora ganav ela chora ganav. We don't say that the thief is the thief. We don't say that the mouse is the thief. We say that the hole that the mouse put the cheese into that he stole is the thief. In other words, the person that you fenced the stolen item to, he ultimately is really the cause of why there was a theft. If there was nobody to sell the stolen item to, then nobody would steal items. Now this is question. Amalei, Abaye tells Rav Yosef, Ilad Achbara Chor Min Olei. It was the fact that the mouse stole. The hole wouldn't get any benefit. You know, the fence, while he's buying it, they need somebody to steal it. So the Gemara says, no, Mistabra, Hecha Deiko Isura, Hasum Kansina. No, so we say, you're right, both sides have a valid argument, but the bottom line is, where's the Issa right now? In the case of the slave, the Issa is by the person who purchased it, so therefore, he's the one that we give the Knas to. Oh, that solves that problem, and with this we conclude today's shir.